For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. In 1620, the Pilgrim Fathers and the Mayflowers set sail from Plymouth to explore the New World. More than 400 years later, Darren from Plymouth explores today's New World. Darren from Plymouth is D.D. Denslow, and he's digging deeper on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to TNT Radio. Yeah, this is me, D.D. Denslow, on Digging Deeper. And I am here today for the next 2 hours. I've got TNT's resident geek, psychology researcher and historian coming up for the next 2 hours. And we have got a lot of heavy digging to do. We're going to cover about 8, 10, maybe 12 stories in the space of the 2 hours. With regards to what's going on in Ukraine, the Biden documents, big tech, what's going on with Twitter, the assisted suicide, nice and cheery topic, and COVID and the latest developments in the whole COVID vaccine story, Project Veritas, what's been going on with Matt Hancock. I've just seen a new story literally just pop up on my Twitter timeline with regards to Andrew Bridgen. So lots and lots for us to discuss. Now, I've been watching, you know, I watch what goes on social media. I pay close attention, say, to the live chat that we have here. And there's been lots of comments. And they've been going around for a while with regards to one of our guests this morning, Dr. John Campbell. He's a shill. He's responsible for people taking vaccines. Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's changed his mind. He can't change his mind. People can't change their minds. No. People aren't allowed to change their minds. And if they do change their minds, that means they were wrong. And that means that they are bad. This is a nonsense argument. Stop it. Yeah? I don't like my doctors who are fooled by propaganda. Yeah, everyone was fooled by the propaganda. 99% of our society is fooled by propaganda. That's all there is propaganda. And when you're in that bubble, you can't see anything else because nothing else exists but propaganda. Dr. John Campbell believed what he was told and what he was taught. He had no reason to question it. He believed the government always had his best interests. What he was taught at university, what he was taught, with, you know, when he got his PhD, he's a doctor. Yeah, nurses, you get a doctorate in nursing. Yeah, he's a doctor. He's an immunologist. He believed what he was taught. He had no reason to question it because there was nothing else in his information sphere that gave him the ability to question it. And as the evidence come in, his ideas and his narrative with regards to what was going on with the COVID story and with the vaccinations started to change. I have watched him for almost 18 months. I hated what he was saying when I started watching him. I could see the cracks in his arguments. And I could see the comments on his YouTube feed pushing back against him. And over the 18 months, I have watched him, and I watched him fairly regularly. I've watched his opinion change. I have watched the amazement and confusion in his eyes as he can't marry two different storylines together. It made no sense to him. And now the data is in with regards to the mRNA vaccines. And so has his opinion changed. This is a credit to the guy that he's brave enough to his 2.5 million subscribers. He's getting hundreds of thousands of views on his videos. And these have been consistent from when he was supporting the government narrative on COVID to now saying, I don't trust what they've been telling me. I think they're not telling me the truth. They've been lying. The evidence suggests that if you get a vaccine, you're more likely to have COVID or even get harmed or worse still, death. And I suspect that all those people who have been watching his videos throughout his waking up, yeah, he's been waking up, something that we've all had to go through, have also woken up with him. And right now in the UK, there may not be a more important person than Dr. John Campbell, not just because of his reach, but because people have grown with him as he has changed his mind as the evidence comes in that supports an alternative opinion that he, through propaganda, which is meant to confuse you and make you think things that are not true, as the evidence smashed that propaganda in his mind and in his thinking, he's obviously a very smart man. Yeah, he's a doctor. Now he's telling the truth. Yeah. And I've seen it. And there are videos out there. You can get like all the like montage of the red pilling of Dr. John Campbell. If you don't believe what I have just said, as that this is an amazingly good thing, and there are lots of other people, including just normal people. Yeah. When I first come along COVID, I was one of the first online as Darren at Plymouth. Yeah, one of the first people online start pushing videos of China and people dead falling over. I look now at those videos and think absolutely ashamed of myself that I contributed to the initial hysteria. One of the first people. I was also one of the first people to say, hey, the evidence is starting to suggest to me that we have a problem. Does that make me now a shill? Because I was wrong back at the beginning of the pandemic because of propaganda, and I was fooled. And we are all easily fooled. We are just human beings at the end of the day. And I believe, I genuinely believe, that Dr. John Campbell is no different. He deserves our support and a round of applause for being brave enough with somebody as a bigger platform as he has to say, I was wrong and I have changed my mind. And that's what we need from everybody. And the only way we can allow them to do that is by being honest ourselves and opening our arms and welcoming them to our side of the argument. Otherwise, that divide will never be bridged. Anyway, rant over. It's quite a good one. Quite pleased with myself. We've got Rohan coming up. If you have any suggestions for a possible guest, maybe we can get some guests as important and as high profile as John Campbell. That would be great. Or hosts that you'd like to hear on TNT Radio, or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss, then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Going beyond the headlines.
They break down the big story.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, I didn't plan to say that when I was going to talk about pension age being raised to 68, Rohan. But you know, that was a bit boring. And I don't pen these things. I just do it off the top of my head. Bit of an ad libber, me. How are you, Rohan?
I'm great, thank you. And yeah, sometimes it just takes you, and you have to get something off your chest. And you know, we've had this discussion before about offering redemption to the penitent. And I'm a great fan of old sayings. And it's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So there's no shame in being fooled once. You just got to correct yourself.
Yeah, it's the people now, the other doctors who follow the science trademark, who are still pushing it. Shame on you, all of you, if you can hear me, if you're listening to TNT. Of course you're not, you know, but if you were, then shame on them. And there are still people who are doing it and pushing the fear, even though they must know that they're wrong. And it's the same for, media personalities as well. I can think of a few. I don't know what they're saying now because I stopped watching them, but they know are knowingly lying to the public. So shame on them too. Right, Rohan, we've got a bit of an action-packed 2 hours coming up. We've got a whole load of topics and articles to get through. We'll start. I've given some sort of order here that I think makes sense, and we're going to start with Twitter. So first thing about Twitter is Darren of Plymouth is actually back on Twitter, and I hope to be causing a lot of mayhem there in the near future. First question, you know, first thing I want to say is do you think that there has been an element of free speech returned to Twitter? Or has it been a bit of an illusion, or is there just still ghosts in the machine?
This is the great question that's coming up right now due to, I'm a great fan of the Streisand effect, and there's been a bit of an implosion of this person, Eliza Blue, on Twitter, who during the rise of Elon and coming on, she's a big supporter of him, and she paints herself as being a sort of a sex trafficking survivor and an advocate for helping people. And, you know, she was lauding Elon for the removal of a lot of the exploitation material on Twitter, and also largely taking credit for assisting with this. But recently, people have been sort of questioning her past on Twitter, like most notably Brittany Venti and the Quartering, and they pointed out the fact that her claim to being a sex trafficking survivor has some doubt to it. You know, she's been in the public eye quite a lot, and most people didn't really look too deep to her. You know, they just saw this woman. They're like, oh, you know, advocating against sex trafficking. That's great. I support that. As you said, no reason to question it. Right. But now she hit back against these people for linking an old music video and got them removed from Twitter, because she now apparently has this great sway with Elon and has some position on a moderation team. So this created this great Streisand effect rabbit hole where everybody suddenly asked the question, who is this woman? And it turns out Eliza Blue is actually Eliza Morthland, with some, you know, politically connected Senate or House of Representative in Illinois member Richard Morthland as a father. And she's been involved in a lot of stuff throughout her life. And one of the best places to get information about her, oddly enough, is the My Chemical Romance subreddit, because she was involved very heavily with effectively being a groupie to My Chemical Romance and doing hairstyling while trying to sort of worm her way into Gerard Way's bed, which she did succeed with for a while, but then, you know, sort of got caught out because all the brand were complaining about her promoting herself rather than being just a hairstylist like she was supposed to be. And she's got this long record of being involved in American Idol in 2010, you know, being involved in the music video in 2012, which I believe was the thing people were getting banned for, and like Instagram modeling, you know, from 2014 all the way up to 2019. And here's where I had a bit of a moment, because she linked to some other recent drama going on about Daily Wire being sort of a kind of artificial conservatives, because her big break came out of nowhere with a Daily Wire article saying how she's this great sex trafficking survivor and has been doing so much work to aid victims. So right now, the question of who is Eliza and why does she have this much power is ringing a lot on Twitter, and many people are calling for the people to be unbanned, because this does prove very hypocritical with Elon's claim that Twitter is supposed to now be a free speech zone, or at least free speech for speech that is legal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know a massive amount about Eliza Blue. I had a quick look into her before I come on air now. I all my first impressions of her was for somebody who's a sex trafficking survivor, or somebody who's been abused in the past, she likes to show off her body a lot. And I'm not necessarily saying that's unusual, because that might actually be quite normal. Yeah, for somebody who's been exploited in that way, especially if it's from a young age, may be quite open and quite, might like to flaunt what they have. And she is an attractive girl, no doubt about that. But I am surprised that accounts like the Quartering have been censored. And are they still cancelled off Twitter right now?
Yeah, the accounts are indefinitely suspended unless they delete the tweet.
Okay, and that's a picture of her.
It's a link to a video of an old music video. Yeah, so it's like something that I believe it used to be easily available on YouTube, but she has now pressured YouTube to remove the video. So I think that original video has now been taken down.
And she you just mentioned she's got links with members of Congress, and that she is part of a speech or content moderation board on Twitter? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know 100% for sure, but the rumors are that after rising to prominence with Elon joining Twitter, she is part of effectively the sort of child protection wing of content moderation on Twitter.
So she's just censoring anybody who speaks out against her and is using her influence with Elon. And Elon does like, he does like a lady, doesn't he? He's got 10 kids. So yeah, Elon, watch out for the blue eyes, mate. It's the blue eyed ones, the blonde blue eyed ones that are the most dangerous. Yeah, they're the ones that have always got me into trouble. My personal opinion on freedom of speech with Twitter is that it's back to it where it was in 2016. I think the accounts that we're discussing here, like the quartering, are unlucky because they've fallen foul of a vindictive, a ghost in the machine, a vindictive person who may be on the board or have some role in the Twitter organization or some influence over Elon because he's a man after all. But the other thing about Twitter that I've noticed in the last 2 days is there's been a lot of talk, not just Twitter, but Facebook too and Instagram, is that Donald Trump may be returning. Now, I don't know if this is just a media article because one was like, oh, Trump's going to ditch his own Truth Social and rejoin Twitter and Facebook. Maybe they're just trying to diminish any achievement that he has with Truth Social by saying that he's leaving his own platform to come back to Twitter. What do you think about that story? And do you think Trump will come back in particular to Twitter, where his reach was, where he owned the place?
Yeah, I think he'll definitely be back. His contract with Truth Social only means that he has to post first on that platform. But as he's now on the campaign trail, he's made his announcement, he has to post everywhere he can. He's going to be on Facebook. He's going to be on Twitter. He's probably going to have some, you know, Zoomer in the office posting up little clips to TikTok, you know, because he wants reach. He needs that reach. And now is a perfect time to strike, you know, like his opponents have their own issues going on. You know, recent polls show him, you know, comfortably ahead of DeSantis in terms of any primary things that was before maybe a bit of a shaky issue. So he's going to get out and he's going to make himself heard.
Yeah, interesting. It'll be I'm not a supporter of Trump. I'm a splintering ass, as Sarah Plumley says to me. I sit on the fence because I don't know. Something else that's okay to say. It's okay to say I don't know. It means you don't know. You need to go and find out. It's called learning. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to stick with the big tech theme because it seems like they are sacking a lot of people. And it'll be interesting, you know, it's interesting to know whether this is part of stagflation and the overall economic downturn that we're seeing across particularly the West. So stay right with us on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Mike Ryan.
A Qantas flight to Sydney has returned to Fiji as a precaution after pilots received a report of fumes in the cabin. Now, that's days after a service from Auckland issued a mayday following an engine shutdown. Forget the exhaust. Where's the engine? Oh, there it is, plummeting to earth. The Qantas has now had its sixth incident. It's just over a week after another plane was forced to turn back following issues surrounding paperwork.
You know, where are we going? I don't know. Where's our map?
I mean, what's wrong with Qantas? I mean, Qantas, the Australian airline, is no more. Now, Alan Joyce, who continues to get enormous chunks of money every year because he's doing such a wonderful, wonderful job. Now, if I ran a business like that, some say maybe I do, but if I ran a business like that and all my planes are turning around because they weren't looked after well enough, or they forgot the paperwork, first of all, the buck stops at the top, doesn't it? So why is Alan Joyce still there?
Mike Ryan on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I view Al Sharpton as a poverty pimp.
Terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland.
I walk outside every day in fear of white supremacy right here in the middle of the hood. Okay, yeah, right.
My grandparents had a cross burned on their property. We were slaves in the past. We're free now.
I never seen a white supremacist in my life. Never, and they can't point to one. Where the hell are they? I wish somebody would introduce me to a white supremacist. I would like to talk to them and take pictures with them because I never seen one in my life.
Biden says that the country is systematically racist. You know, I almost want to look at him and say, haven't you been the system for the last 50 years?
He's the one that sponsored the 1994 crime bill, which unequivocally basically targeted black men in black neighborhoods.
The polarization, the left versus right, the black versus white.
Pro-choice against pro-life.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
People have had to make it like they're apologizing for their whiteness.
And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
What's more disheartening to me is that those who are within the black community are allowing for that to take place.
So really what we're dealing with is a cultural Marxism that Joe Biden and all the rest from the left were trying to inculcate into our society.
Well, you were once the oppressor, so now I must be the oppressor. You don't avenge evil for evil.
It's okay to say disparaging things against white people. Our former president, Barack Obama, said it, you know, about old white men are a problem. Except when it comes time for him to fly around on their airplanes and ride around on their yachts or be their next door neighbors or endorse them for president like Joe Biden, then old white men are okay. This is their last gasp.
What do progressive socialists really want?
Watch Systematic Deception at SalemNow.com.
The Net Zero Con will leave millions of citizens dependent on state handouts. It isn't a theory. It's an agenda. There is no climate emergency. On air 24/7. This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, interesting comment just come through. If you can't offer an olive branch when people correct themselves, we are really in the poo, because that means the next step can only be war. And it's not just about what I was saying. You could apply that to the situation in Ukraine. You could put that, you know, to the political divide, so on. And anywhere where there's polarization in belief, we need to have that option of resolution and coming together. And if we don't, then we are really in the brown stuff. Okay, Rohan, we were just talking about Twitter and Donald Trump coming back and some bird called Elijah Blue who might be getting people censored. But at the same time, Amazon, Google, Facebook, Twitter, all the major social media platforms and big tech companies. Amazon today announced that they're going to be laying off 18,000 people. Similar sort of numbers have been touted by Google. I think that's 15,000. Facebook was also about 12,000. Elon went and put the axe right through three quarters of the Twitter workforce. Is this a sign that that major companies who are now laying off really large elements of their workforce, is this a sign of stagflation coming and that we are now over 2023 to compound the issues of our economy, going to start seeing mass unemployment? Will that filter down to the bottom, so to speak?
I think this is the sign of the collapse after stagflation, because the tech industry has been in trouble for a while now. It's been sort of struggling on the stock market, and sort of everything from video games to big tech. So I think that what we're actually seeing is the result of the final bursting of this kind of tech bubble that's been going on pretty much since the early years of the internet, when all these big companies have been flocking in, pouring in money, all of this venture capital money coming in. But it has to stop at some point. And what we're seeing now with all of the crunch and the inflation, no one has the money for these things. And big tech ultimately is a service industry. It doesn't produce anything. So if the base production side of society is struggling and doesn't have that disposable income, big tech has to collapse. It has to suffer. It reminds me of the giant video game collapse in the 80s when the video game industry went from this seemingly unstoppable juggernaut on the rise to being almost completely dead by the sort of end of the 80s, being sort of revived with Nintendo and Sony and such. So it's just because these things seem like juggernauts doesn't mean that they're not prone to the same volatility that everything in the market is. So these big tech like has been providing a lot of money for its employees as well. You've only got to look at the day in the life videos where they've got these gyms and these cafes and, you know, basically daycare for adults because they want to reduce us all to children. So, you know, we get parked off at the Google daycare and we, you know, put the round peg in the square hole and then we get our paycheck and we go home. But it's unsustainable. The money's not there anymore. And now we'll see the real crunch when people who are in these sort of cushy jobs realize that the society no longer exists to support them and they don't have qualifications. You know, it echoes when the people, the journalists and the internet folk were telling the miners to learn to code when they lost their jobs. Yeah. It's like, well, now we need the miners back. You know, you look at what's happening in Germany where they're strip mining the lignite coal because otherwise they don't have enough power to run their country. So before you know it, we'll be sending all of the social media employees in the UK down the Yorkshire and Welsh mines. You know, open up the coal mines again and, you know, swinging a pick, yeah, fortunately doesn't take much skill.
They ain't going to last 5 seconds, Lisa. Yeah, I mean, and you're right. You know, people can't afford the luxuries that we've been used to over, you know, the technological luxuries that we've been used to over the last sort of 10, 15 years. And actually, the Amazon have stated this, that people are no longer spending their money online like they were. And obviously, Amazon saw record profits, record revenue, especially during the pandemic period, where everybody was almost forced to buy from them. All of a sudden, that stopped and gone in reverse as people are now flooding to their high streets to spend physical cash. Is that a promising sign? Yeah, you know, I'm not saying, oh, we should have Amazon's going to go bust. Oh, that would be great. I'm not saying that. But is it a good sign that people are going, hey, wait, there's a mom and pop shop just up the road. Maybe I'll go and buy my coffee from there. Yeah, or maybe I'll go and buy my tech product from there or whatever it is. And they're going and spending and walking rather than just buying everything online and using the tech giants like Amazon, like Google, like Facebook, etc. to manage their lives, but to buy the products that they need. This is a good sign.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of finding the silver linings in even the worst disasters. And I think what the pandemic definitely did is the old saying, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. People have now learned the value of their community and their friends and keeping those structures alive. And the result of the pandemic and being forced to stay inside, being forced to use all these online retailers, as you said, there has been this explosion of people going, actually, I want to support my local person. I want to go, you know, I've got a farm that's just up the road. I'll go and get my stuff from there, you know, or even in the case of the video game and the sort of nerd world, it's like the games which require physical contact have seen an explosion in their player base, like card games and, you know, sort of like the Warhammer type games where you actually have to physically engage with human beings and go to a store. You know, like me and my friends, we're very precious about the nerd store we go to. We like doting the owner with money because it's a great place to hang out. And you want to support it. So the pandemic fortunately has taught people the value of their local infrastructure. So that's kind of an added effect in the case of something like Amazon to the overall tech crunch is that, yeah, people don't want to use those sort of big conglomerate services anymore. I mean, even before the internet, there was the big backlash against kind of Walmart and those types of shops that bundle everything together and destroy your local baker and sort of butcher and the like. So hopefully we are going to see a return to a more community-centered lifestyle that perhaps hasn't really existed since the sort of late 70s and 80s.
Yeah, maybe a 15-minute type community. You know, it may well be feeding right into other nuts. Not that one. Yeah, it seems like everything, no matter what happens, what we do, we're all traveling in the same direction. We might be taking slightly different routes, but we're all going to meet in the same place in the end. You know, I find that sort of slightly disconcerting that, you know, nothing that we can do can change the outcome. I'm not saying that's true, but it could well feed in to the 15-minute cities, what you were just saying. Right, we're going to some quick news headlines, Rohan. And when we come back, let's talk about the Biden documents, and Trump again, and Mike Pence has made an appearance in this storyline. So stay with us on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio News.
I have some exciting news.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. France has announced it'll withdraw its troops from the West African nation of Burkina Faso after receiving a formal notice to leave the country. US President Joe Biden has announced Washington will now start arming Ukraine with America's most advanced battle tanks, and the United Nations is calling for troops to be deployed in Haiti to restore order and curb a surge in gang violence.
On air and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to TNT Radio. I'm here talking with Rohan. We were just talking about stagflation and the potential for, you know, big job losses over the coming year and maybe further. Someone who's just, Agent Orange, has just commented in the live chat to say things were going to deflation. I don't really know what the deflation is. Isn't it just the same as a recession? Was it more extreme? But I'll have to have a look at that, because I know what deflation means as a word, but in terms of economic terms, I don't know what the difference is between that and a depression and a recession. I always thought stagflation was the final sort of stage in economic policy to try and prevent inflation from taking over. Anyway, I'll have a look at that, and maybe I'll comment on it next time I'm on there. Classified documents. They found more. They keep finding them everywhere they look. We've got a president. He's having his house in, Is it Delaware? I know you follow this. Your stories quite closely. Classified files have been found at X. It's not just Biden and in his garage. It's impenetrable garage, though. Classified files have been found at ex-US Vice President Mike Pence's home in the latest discovery of secret papers at the homes of officials who have served in the top ranks of government. They're all out. The documents discovered by a lawyer last week for Mr. Pence at his Indiana home have been handed over to the FBI. Investigators are already looking into President Joe Biden and ex-President Donald Trump's possession of files. I think the latter has been dealt with. Mr. Trump faces a criminal investigation for allegedly mishandling papers. Representatives for Mr. Pence sent a letter to the National Archives alerting them to the documents. Trump's being investigated for having some menus and some other bits and bobs that he's allowed to just declassify because he is a president. And yet we've got Mr. Pence, who I always thought was an odious and untrustworthy individual. Anyone who kisses ass as well as he does can't be trusted. And the way he spoke about Trump, you ever hear his speeches? We say, oh, Trump, the almighty, well, you're so great, Trump. Oh, the world, we're so lucky. Give it a rest, Mike. And then Biden. So they're both vice presidents. They don't have that declassification power, that executive power that Trump has. But the only person who's been talked about as having a criminal investigation here is Trump. Tell me more about this story, Rohan.
I do love stories like this because they're fantastic for red pilling the general public when you have such fantastic hypocrisy sort of on air for all to see. And, you know, seems like Oprah Winfrey got her hand on some classified documents and decided to hand them out to everyone. Because, yeah, it just seems it's unending. Like every time they say, okay, this is the last batch of documents we found in one of Biden's properties, the investigation is done. You know, a few hours later, more documents. I think that more than two times the spokesperson for the White House has had to sort of explain to the press how, after claiming that it was over, they found more. And as you said, the whole, it is very much apples and oranges with Trump and these people, because Trump had the authority to classify these things. And it's a common practice of presidents, you know, that ever since, like, I believe what's known as the SOC law, where there was this investigation because Clinton had a load of tapes in one of his sock drawers. And the Supreme Court ruled that effectively the president can just think that something's declassified, and it is. He doesn't necessarily have to notify people. So that it did make them change it afterwards so that he has to at least write it down somewhere. But the president does have carte blanche authority to take what he wants, rights, and so long as it's, you know, reasonably secure, then there's no complaints. Even if it is just in the garage with a lock, you know, that is technically fine. It's more the hypocrisy of going after Trump, having this special counsel and all these things to demonize him fully, when, as you said, you've got vice presidents that have no declassification authority. That is a straight violation of the Espionage Act. It's the wording is very clear. And even worse, in the case of Biden, a lot of these documents are quite sensitive and stored in places where, you know, Hunter Biden has access to them, and he has all his dodgy business dealings. You know, Chinese university workers have access to them, and, you know, every Chinese person ultimately has to report to the CCP. It's kind of like, otherwise they'll just throw you in the gulag. So if they want information from you, they will get it. So it's funny to see this furor going on, because the news really thinks that the average person is stupid, and that they don't see, they don't evaluate the information for themselves. They think, oh, they'll just eat up the fact that Trump's the bad guy and everyone else is the good guy, even when they can clearly see the situation is that these people have done something that's far worse than what Trump has done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at another article here. Biden's blame-shifting excuses for classified documents make scandal worse. President Biden, who people know take classified information very seriously, maintains through counsel that his illegal retention of classified documents in multiple unauthorized private locations, so far his private office, his garage, various areas of one of his homes, etc., was an unfortunate case of there being inadvertently misplaced. Now, we had this conversation last week, I think. The way that this has suddenly sort of blown up, and it's everywhere. Oh, every day, oh, we found some more, and there's six documents here, and there was a document in his garage in a box, and it's his Corvette or whatever it was that his sports car was. Do you think there is now a real sort of clamor, and the snowball is growing for them to be able to say they can remove him from office? They can sort of, we'll impeach him on this minor document, or it's just a document infringement. We'll impeach him on that, or he'll stand down because, you know, oh, I've been caught, I'll stand down. Or they may say he's so senile now, he didn't even know he took documents out. He didn't even know that there were documents. Are these called documents? I didn't know that. Maybe that's, they'll use that sort of argument to say, hey, Joe Biden is no longer competent to lead the USA, and they may even get Kamala, kick Kamala out with him, and then we've got Mr. Newsom, who's been doing the rounds in terms of the rumor that he could be a WEF replacement. Are they trying to get? I'm getting a bit far of the Newsom bit, but are they trying to potentially remove Biden from office?
I do think they definitely don't want Biden to run in 2024. But it is a bit weird how they would go to this sort of lengths to remove him, because at the end of the day, they can just 25th him. You know, like the whole amendment for mental competency, it's like he would easily fail that. Like everybody knows. So if you really want to get rid of him, you're one paper away, one vote away from doing it. And this, the way that this seems to be sprawling, you know, the optimist in me wants to think that this is actually an attempt to take down the heart of a lot of this, because what I've noticed is that they're now looking at Obama, and Obama has preemptively taken out some sort of things to stop them from being able to search his home and or restricting searching his home. You know, Obama seems to be insulating himself. So I think that this could be an attempt to kind of take down the entire sort of Obama-era intelligence network, you know, so all of the post-Bush stuff, everyone, you know, take down Obama and all the people he's connected with via a group sort of RICO Espionage Act type of thing to prove that all of these people had been taking and sharing classified documents amongst themselves, whether or not they were in office. And it does seem to be developing into something quite interesting, because if you want to sabotage Biden, You only need to plant like one load of documents, like maybe two, to really seal the deal. You don't plant like six of them and then plant some in Mike Pence's house as well, just because you're like, why not bring Mike down as well? You know, because he's been sat quietly in the corner doing nothing, being like almost completely silent ever since January 6th. Like Pence, he knows that he's kind of, you know, he's done his bit and that he's got no more political capital. So it's yeah, it's a very bizarre situation to me. If all you want to do is take down Biden, it's a lot easier than this.
So you think there might be some white hats involved here, and that this might be a genuine attempt to bring down an element of the deep state or the people that control the deep state by using this document infringement. The thing is, it's all over the media. It's all in the mainstream news. When a story is everywhere, I always get sort of suspicious. I'm going to be suspicious on some of the latest developments in the UK COVID story later because of the nature that it's appeared and it's in the mainstream. It's the same with the Project Veritas story at the moment. I'm very sort of dubious of how to take it. And I do wonder whether, you know, Biden... his days are numbered. I'm not sure that he will make it to the end of the year. Saying they could just pull the 25th on him, they could just do that. But that would be an admission saying, well, you know, you mean you put up somebody that you knew wasn't mentally competent to lead the country? Look at the mess, yeah? Do you see what I mean? Politicians tend to find the most complicated, most unnecessary method of achieving a goal when, you know, Biden could just stand down, couldn't he? That would be much easier. But they go, no, what we'll do is we've got this great idea. We'll put some documents that are not that important, or they might be quite important. I don't know. I don't know the content of these documents. And we'll put them in a box in your garage, and then we'll go and get someone to find them, and then we'll be able to get you out that way. Rather than just going, mate, you're senile and you don't know what you're talking about. We're going to get you on the 25th. Yeah, because that's actually an indictment of the entire political establishment. Yeah, the fact that he's even in power in the first place, rather than something that he is guilty of, which is taking documents that he shouldn't have in the past. Yeah, so they can't even use the fact that he's senile now because he did it when he was vice president. So, any comments before we go to a break?
Yeah, you can also use it to sort of play the pendulum swing by being like, oh, we knew he was dodgy all along, and like channel all of the anger against Biden that a lot of Democrats do feel back into the Democratic Party by, you know, say Gavin Newsom steps out of the shadows and starts condemning Biden heavily, and, you know, yeah, puts himself as the opposition, yeah, and he's got the fodder. But either way, a lot about this situation does seem very confusing. As you said, there is that media attention, which means they don't want to bury this. But I also don't see how they get many wins out of this, because a lot of this, you know, it falls into the narrative of abuse of classified documents, which is a lot of what the whole Q thing is about, right? Which is the mishandling of documents behind the scenes. So they're drawing a spotlight to something which they should really not, if they want to get a purely positive result for the Democrats.
Yeah, and I made that, you know, counter argument. You know, I have no real in-depth knowledge of what's going on. How can I possibly? However, if it is a document issue that they're going to use to get rid of Biden, they can just put all the blame on him and then slide him out. And then the blame is gone from the party, as opposed to saying, oh, he's senile. And we've seen how they've been supporting him and probably drugging him up and giving him the teleprompter and getting his handler, to speak for him, etc. That brings shame onto the entire party and American political establishment. All right, we're going to a quick break. And when we come back, I've got Epstein didn't kill himself. So stay right with us on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather
with reality and perspective.
Well, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is we have survived yet another day on planet Earth of catastrophic global warming because of man. Now, that's the good news. We're all still alive, at least if you're hearing this. I assume you're alive. The bad news, of course, is that according to this crowd, tomorrow is coming, and then the day after tomorrow, and then the day after tomorrow, and each day is getting warmer, and we're more perilous. Now, when was the last time we had a warm month in Australia? Well, that's interesting. Looks like back in April or May, we had a little bit warmer than normal. But what of Africa? Anybody look at Africa? They've been cooler than normal. Now, as far as Australia goes, I warn folks in Australia, we are about to flip this La Nina to El Nino. And that means that things are going to be considerably drier and considerably warmer. So with all this cool weather that Australia's had, I realize you've been out of the climate spotlight for a while. Rest assured, you'll probably be in it again quite soon. The good news is, of course, that if you're back in it soon, we're still all surviving. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
How about some good news? There is a cure for hepatitis C. A simple blood test will tell you whether or not you have hepatitis C. More than 9 out of 10 people who receive highly effective treatment are cured and less likely to develop liver cancer or liver complications. One little blood test and you'll have done your part to help eliminate hepatitis C for good. Get tested. Get treated. Get cured. Visit hep.org for more information.
We're digging deeper with Dee Dee Denslow
on today's News Talk Radio,
TNT.
And welcome back to TNT Radio. I'm here with Rohan Heatley. We were just talking about Biden's documents, and we're going to stay with a US theme. Epstein didn't kill himself, according to his ex-girlfriend and fellow sex trafficker, Ghislaine Maxwell. The disgraced socialite says she doesn't believe the notorious sex trafficker committed suicide in his cell. Tell us something that we don't know. Convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine claims her partner in crime and ex-boyfriend Epstein was murdered in a Manhattan jail cell in August 2019 while he was awaiting trial. In a jailhouse interview, and this is the bit of the story that I'm really interested in. In a jailhouse interview with Talk TV's Jeremy Kyle. Why is she talking to Jeremy Kyle of all the people? She's Ghislaine Maxwell of all the people on the planet that she could have had a one-to-one from her jailhouse. She chose Jeremy Kyle on Talk TV, which is getting terrible viewing figures, by the way, which aired on Monday. Maxwell stated that she didn't believe the official narrative that the disgraced financier had committed suicide after he was found hanging in his cell just a month after his arrest. I believe that he was murdered. I was shocked, she said, really. Then I wondered how it happened because as far as I was concerned, I'm sure he was going to appeal and I'm sure he was covered under the non-prosecution agreement. Epstein's death has officially been ruled a suicide and the Justice Department has said it found no signs of foul play following a 2-year investigation into themselves. Why, first of all, do you think Epstein killed himself?
I mean, that's a rhetorical question. I mean, obviously he didn't.
And he probably was going to appeal, and he may well have got off. Yeah, he may well have had some sort of non-prosecution agreement hanging in his back pocket from the previous convictions when he got in trouble, you know, a decade earlier or whenever it was. But the real interesting thing is, what was that show that Jeremy Kyle used to have? You know, he used to bring like English, someone from like deep dregs of Cornwall. They always used to have bad teeth and they'd bring them on stage and they'd been having an affair or, you know, they'd do a lie detector to see if they'd stolen all the kiddies' Christmas presents. I forget what the name was called. Is it just called the Jeremy Kyle Show? It might have just been called the Jeremy Kyle Show.
Yeah, I think
show,
it was just because it did the whole Jerry Springer show thing, right? It was just a British Jerry Springer where let's take hillbillies from the mountains that do weird things and parade them on the stage like a modern freak show.
And profit from them. So Jeremy Kyle is not a, I used to watch it, you know. I used to think, oh my God, they're from Plymouth. I'm so ashamed that I'm from Plymouth. And I got these people. And I got on a bus once and I looked over and there was someone with blue eyes. It was a blonde, blue-eyed woman. But I remember her from Jeremy Kyle. She had the brightest blue eyes ever. And I thought, oh my God, I'm on a bus. And she was there with us like 20-odd kids. Jeremy Kyle. So why is... Of all the people, why is Ghislaine Maxwell talking to Jeremy Kyle on Talk TV, which is effectively just a sort of minor MSM channel, TV channel now? They used to be quite popular as Talk Radio, and then they went to the TV format. Why? Why? And why is she even allowed to speak from prison in the first place?
I would imagine that most of the big mainstream media people have been told to just not speak to her. And the reason that it is Jeremy Kyle is that the only person that she can get is someone that he's like small enough to not be under those restrictions, but big enough that you can still get a message out. Because to me, the important thing about this message and what shocked me about it is that the statement everybody knows. What she's really saying is that she's not afraid. Because if they killed Jeffrey, why is she alive? You know, she must know that her life, I imagine there was some sort of backdoor agreement before her trial where they're like, we're going to go through the motions, we're going to protect everyone, we're going to seal everything, we're going to give you this sentence, it's going to be in a nice place, and you're going to shut up. And that's the deal. But the fact that she's now talking, I mean, the type of people that she's potentially getting on the bad side of here, you know, yeah, they can kill you in the highest security prison in the, you know, the sort of highest security prison nation in the world. So it's she's either not afraid to die, or, you know, maybe there is about to be, again, putting on the optimism thing. Maybe there might be some motions on the Epstein. I see that it's something that, even though Elon's in the doghouse right now over Eliza and the Twitter censoring, he is also pushing very hard to, you know, drawing attention to the list and the idea of unsealing a lot of the court documents from Ghislaine and pointing the fingers at the WEF as well. He's attacking a lot of these big cabal figures. So, you know, hopefully there will be some divulgence of the actual clientele that visited the island, because there's, you know, it's become a meme. You know, I spend a lot of my time studying just the memes of the internet, because they are the way you measure the culture war. And the fact that everyone talks about, you know, that Epstein didn't kill himself all the time, and the idea that Ghislaine, you know, she sex trafficked kids to no one, apparently, you know, it's, these are the things that the news thinks that we're stupid. They think that people just eat this up, but people do notice these cracks.
Yeah, I'm just going to, I mean, she is definitely putting her head on the chopping block. That's something that is definitely happening, you know, and I'm certain that she's not, you know, calling in to bloody Mr. Jeremy Kyle from, you know, an 8x8 cell with rats scurrying around, and she's got a piss in the corner and a bucket. I'm pretty sure that that's not happening. I'm pretty sure she's got pretty good. Have you ever seen the cell that the Goodfellas had? Is it the Goodfellas? And they're all in the cell, and they're cutting up the garlic, and they're making a bolognese sauce, and the prison guards come in with a trolley for the steaks and fresh veg, and they've got this massive area that was just for them. I suspect that she's probably got a secure unit just like that. And later on in the interview, Maxwell also commented on her personal relationship with Epstein, stating that she wishes she'd never met the financier and that she didn't know he was so awful when the pair were in a relationship. She also refused to issue an apology to her victims, saying that Epstein has died and they should take their disappointment and upset on the authorities that allowed this to happen. Maxwell also said the victim should have some closure via the judicial process that took place and wish them a productive and good life going forward. So she didn't know that prolific rapist of young women and sex trafficker who had a magical island with a Disney looking like castle on it wasn't an awful person. So he got convicted once, and she didn't realize he was an awful person then, and carried on for another decade or so. Maybe he was that scary. I don't know. What do you think about some of her comments? What does it say about Ghislaine Maxwell?
I think this is always the biggest sort of point of debate I see a lot in the whole Ghislaine and Epstein thing is to who was the mastermind of this? Because, you know, a lot of people assume that Jeffrey is, you know, being the man, is the one in charge, is the one behind a lot of this. But, you know, there's also the big tinfoil hat rabbit hole people that look at the fact that, you know, the Maxwell family name is one that carries a lot of the weight. And you know, is it Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine's father, who's like, you know, involved in lots of stuff, you know, like connected to CIA, like all kinds of things. Yeah, like tons of money and weight. You know, we're talking about like a sort of a Rothschild level family name. And there is this idea that, you know, Epstein was recruited, you know, either by, you know, Maxwell's have connections to Israel, to Mossad, you know, maybe he was, the theory is that he's a Mossad honeypot, right? You know, that he would draw people in to get blackmail material on important officials so that, you know, Mossad and Israel as a whole would have like an iron grip and on those people so they would do what they want to do. And I've long believed that, you know, the a lot of the sort of James Bondy type stuff does go on in the real world. There are spy agencies in every country. They do these underhanded tactics to get the upper hand on other nations. And blackmail has long been the most valuable currency in the world. It's far more valuable than money. If I have a video of the director of the world's biggest bank doing inappropriate things with children, what does money matter? I've got all the power I need to do anything I want in the world. And so this is the big question surrounding all of the Epstein thing. It's almost not the acts that are important. I mean, obviously it's terrible. These people deserve justice, but it's the network. Because the problem is these people have been doing this long before Epstein and also probably after him. Like now Epstein's been convicted. Who's the next one?
Yeah, who they got in his place. And, you know, final comment on this story, because I'm just looking at the end, bottom of the article and I almost forgot it. A snippet of the interview is published on Sunday in which Maxwell says she was confident that the photo depicting herself, Prince Andrew, an alleged sex trafficking victim, Virginia Guffra, can't quite say her name, was fake. So she's also said in the same interview that effectively, the evidence used against Prince Andrew in the UK, man who never sweats apparently, was a faked picture, and that maybe she's inferring that he is innocent. Anyway, stay right with us. I'll be back with Rohan in a minute, and we'll be going straight to Germany at war with Russia. Hey, who fancy that? Stay with us on TNT Radio.